everybody. Hi, this is Veronica Entwistle. I don't know why I'm all excited tonight. I think I am. You've tuned into Radiance by Design, and this is a show about you. I hope that you will be calling in to talk about what's going on in your life. Life for me has gone since the first of the year. It has been absolutely amazing. Some of the best opportunities have come up for both me and for Bob, my partner, and a lot of people, and also some amazing endings, transitions, people dying. I'm going, you know, I know it's supposed to be very dynamic, but this is only the 12th. Hello. And I'm finding that it has been outrageously fast-moving right now. So I'm a little bit reeling. Nothing's bad, but I keep hearing from people that, holy mackerel, there's a lot of losses. One woman I saw today said, I just feel miserable all the time since the beginning of the year. And the other people I saw today were saying, I feel really excited since the beginning of the year. But nobody's saying, blah, it's very neutral. So what's going on in your world? Let me know. It's going to be a call-in. It's a call-in show, and I really don't know what the numbers are. I have to look them up because Bob's not here with me tonight, and he does all of this kind of work. So what we're going to start with, I want to talk about coming into the new year. I want to talk about 2012. I want to talk about what I believe that the guides have shown me over and over again, which is at this time in history, our ability to launch ourselves outside of or way beyond the subconscious tyranny of our belly areas, of our subconscious, of our cellular journey, apparently it's really possible for us to move into more of a, what would we call it, an autonomy of self-expression instead of just following, you know, what some kind of patterning has been placed in your brain and in your belly area, in your body, in your cells, in your DNA. And how do we muster that? If we suck our thumb and just follow the promptings, the yellow brick road, what happens? Well, maybe it isn't the yellow brick road. If we just follow the inner promptings, our desires, our attachment, our magnetism for this or that, our anything that keeps us numb and numbing, then we could probably stay there. But haven't you heard the story, and I have a lot, about how the world is going to seem to split into two? I've decided over the last few years or whatever that it's not going to be simply two. So there's this world over here and this world over there. But it's a myriad of possibilities of worlds. A lot of you know about creating your reality, and as we create our reality, it's an infinite supply, isn't it, of what realities we can create. And that's going to be something that I think Jackie's group is going to be talking about tonight. Not quite that, but they're talking about the drama that people are going through right now. Well, hey, pick me. I'm one of those as well. And what is the reality in my world? What is the reality that I'm picking? When I say to you that you have the option to move out of the tyranny of the subconscious mind, I'm really serious, but it takes an awful lot of work, doesn't it? It takes steering your ship. The guide used to say keeping your hands on the steering wheel of your mind at all times. That means seeing your visions by choice and letting them, you know, when you're turning the corner and you've got your hands on the steering wheel of your car, you can't hang on to that wheel really tightly, can you? Because then it doesn't turn the corner. There's no blitheness. There's no soft corner. There's this incredible jerkiness and resistance and so on. So we hang on to the steering wheel of our mind, but we have to let some of it slip through our fingers. So you've got a vision, and you want your vision to unfold. And in that vision, you want to have your feelings, really strong feelings, and you want those to unfold, but you want them to change so that if some of the details have to change, you're not going to be stomping your foot and demanding that it be exactly what you decreed. You want it to open, unravel, and fit and suit what's coming up for you, what opportunities are coming up. As far as I can understand, we're going to be very, very surprised about some of them. So let's start off our discussion together. I'm still looking for the numbers. You can probably find the numbers on your own. Your own internet connection. But I'm going to do this meditation with you, and I'd really like you to call in as soon as you can. As soon as we finish the meditation, let's talk about you, what's going on in your life, and maybe help you create the reality you want. Here are the numbers. So I'm going to get you to call in when I'm done, so I'm not going to give the numbers. So I'm done with meditation until you're done. Oh, also, Deb O'Connor is going to come in and talk about, she hasn't been here for a while because she's been on the road. She's coming in at 7:30 to talk about what that full moon was all about. How many of you experienced a wild and woolly full moon? How many of you are experiencing the downloads of frequencies that are moving through our universe, through our galaxies at this time? Wow, they're just really buffeting us around. And I keep reminding everybody that those frequencies are coming in, and you can fight them. You can try to maintain what you consider to be normal, or you can move those frequencies through your body and integrate their ability to transform and expand your potential. I think of it as like a universal acupuncture. You can do a lot of things with them. And as far as I'm concerned, the stuff that Barbara Han Clow and others have spoken of with the Mayan calendar are that the frequencies are really what the Mayan calendar thing was all about, that the Mayan calendars have actually expressed how we get these downloads every 26,000 years or maybe other numbers of frequencies that give us the potential to activate our evolutionary self as, you know what, I'm stumbling because Seth, I have a terrible buzzing on my radio sound on my telephone, and I'm wondering if you could help me, if we could turn it off and then come back on. And for listeners, I hope you can be patient and stay tuned in, even though we're going to disconnect. everybody. I hope you hung in there. We had trouble getting back. There was some kind of interference on the line. So this is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and I want to talk to you tonight. So let's do a faster meditation than usual, and then you can call in. We're going to talk about the new year. We're going to talk about changes that you want to bring to your life this year. And you know what else? I think that because we were talking about stepping away from the drive to the subconscious, let's talk also about clearing, and more clearing. Let's see if we can bring in different aspects of ourselves that are much higher. Because remember this, you and I are old souls, and we've been through a lot of lifetimes already. It's not a linear progression of events, so you could say that those lifetimes are even concurrent. But some of them, you're absolutely brilliant and coming to very high production, learning and doing amazing things that shock you. Well, those are pieces of information that you can bring in. They're a part of your consciousness field. So let's really open our imaginations and talk to ourselves about what it is we want to be this year, what we want to become, what we want to release, and what we want to develop. So let's start. We're going to do it fairly quickly. We're going to go through our sacred geometrics. Focus above your head about 2 miles and create there a golden ball. Below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball, and drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball right down through the spine into the lower golden ball. And now drop a four-sided pyramid from the upper golden ball to about waist height, and then upside down, with its point poking into the lower golden ball, another four-sided pyramid. And when they're together, base to base, they're an eight-sided structure called an octahedron. When you have that octahedron around you, how do you feel? And now inside of that, there's a crystal ball, and the outside edges of your crystal ball touch the inside edges of your octahedron. And inside of that, there you are in a star tetrahedron. And you've got a filament of light running through your whole spine, so you're on a spit here. You're going to spin on the spit. Now spin and spin and spin and look in front of you as you spin and spin. And there's a magical screen. And on that screen is where we're going to place the images that we're creating. Now the first image, the first part of the screen is you becoming what it is you want to be. I always want to be multidimensional. Good. And then when you feel like you're actually getting there, we're going to go fast tonight because I'm late. When you feel like you're actually getting there, give yourself a big smile and a big hug. Wrap it in light so it can continue its evolution or its unfoldment. And move to the second screen. And on the second screen, there's a project you want to create. I always say I want to create a television project, which I'm going to do. I've started some of it. And see all the resources coming to you. Maybe you want home and family. Maybe you want a house. Maybe you want a book. It doesn't matter. What's your project? See the pieces and the resources coming together. See yourself being absolutely pleased because it's all working. And also see the resources required to sustain your project. And now wrap that in light so it can continue to stew. And let's pop into the Galactic Healing Center. Now remember, we talked about being able to step out of your subconscious programming, at least to a degree. So the tyranny of the subconscious, the karma. How many of you have got a little karma going on? To me, the karma is kind of the relentless drive and magnetism. If you are trying to avoid somebody who's really got some karmic connection with you, it doesn't matter if you go across the world, there they are. So let's see you in the Galactic Healing Center with your team of healers around the beautiful healing table. You're the first one to lie down on the table. And now let's ask this team to help us clear some of the subconscious programming. And what is it they do for you and with you? They look like they're doing surgery on me. What about you? And in my brain, back in the belly, aha, they're going right throughout the chakras, and my legs are feeling really weird. And it seems like they're pulling out all kinds of things from the belly. And then I'm going to ask them if they've got some advice for me. You know what they're telling me? I don't know what they're telling you, but you can tell me that when you call in. But they're telling me to spin and spin and spin in the double tetrahedron when I've got a karmic issue coming up. How do we know when it's a karmic issue? I always get these really interesting kind of grayish molten steel colors. And I feel this incredible draw to something. I used to think, oh gosh, I belong there because I feel so at home. Now I've learned to say, oh jiggers. There's a little karmic coming up because I've had a little karmic egg on my face in my life. Have you? And now when I really get them to move things through, let's wrap that in light and move it to the side. And bring in someone that you want to bring in. I have a friend who's a very precious friend, and she's nearing her transition. And this is a woman who's very, very spiritual. She's worked hard. She's a character. She's feisty. She's willful. But no matter what she did, she always stopped and said, huh, what am I doing? Am I working toward my higher good? I'm watching her as she's passing, and it would be wonderful to wrap her with this team of healers and ask for all the help they can give her. Mm-hmm. And once again, they're pulling a lot of energies out of her body, nurturing her, loving her, and bringing her toward her gateway. Good work. Now let's bring in, let's wrap that in light and move that to the side. She looks like she's going to transit fairly soon, but she has a beautiful, beautiful team of amazing characters around her, helping love her and nurture her, midwifing her, yeah. Who do you have on your healing table? Let's create a fresh table and bring the team around it. Yeah. And let's bring in one more person. Who have you got there? I won't tell you who I'm bringing this time. Okay. Well, actually, I'm putting a couple in there. They're having a lot of financial crises, and they're having trouble staying stable, and they're looking for work, or he is anyway. And we're asking the team to help them both. Use their pain and tension, that they can get along with each other. Excellent. And I see that the team is separating the energies between the two of them, so when one gets upset, the other one doesn't have to get upset. Remember, empathy is it's a very useful tool, and it's a difficult tool if you're not paying attention to it. And they're just blessing them with love. And now wrap that in light, move it over to the side, and let it pulse away in that healing corridor over there. Bring in a fresh table and have the team replicate themselves around that table. Let's bring in a political situation. How about the one with Iran? Iran and the U.S., or Iran and the world. And let's see the... Well, I'm asking, first of all, what the team wants to do with them. And it seems like they're infusing the love and the art of win-win. They're infusing it in all the key players. And it's funny because there's a lot of contracts in there that we're not going to know about. They're not just with Iranians. They're with big corporate oil things and so on. It's quite a mess. And they're basically melting almost melting the strings between people that are creating some kind of dangerous, well, they're not dangerous for them, they're dangerous for us, collusions that can create a world war. But it's very possible when we melt the hearts and we infuse energy into all of the people involved to actually neutralize these things that might have been detrimental. And now wrap that in light. And now let's call in, like we like to do, this amazing healing energy. We were talking at the very beginning, for those of you who tuned into the beginning of the show, we were talking about how there's some wonderful, wonderful universal frequencies, downloads, coming through different galaxies, different universes as well as our own, moving like mad. And if you can feel those, you can actually feel them come in through your hands and your arms and down into your own body and catalyze your ability to evolve and so on. So let's call in those frequencies and see these ones that are in harmonious colors. Have them come down through the hands, through the top of your head. Okay, right down into your body, into the heart. And now out through your arms and hands. And I want you to pat those frequencies or send them to all of the places you know of on the planet where there's a lot of difficulty and sickness and so on. And greed and raping of the land, yeah, and the shifting of ecological balances, poisoning of sources of food. To see yourself placing this wonderful healing energy and this consciousness, frequencies of consciousness in all these different places. And now wrap the whole world in these frequencies. Wrap all of the world thick enough so it gets to pulse in, just like you and I can bring in these higher frequencies and use them like acupuncture. We can absorb them and integrate them. Excellent. And now I want you to just cover the whole world. Have these energies move back through your hands, right into your heart, back up through the top of your head and out into the great central sun. Good. And now I want you to jump, close off the galactic healing center, jump into your star tetrahedron, and come on into this room with me and call in with your questions. And the call-in number is 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471. We're going to have a call out to Deb O'Connor pretty soon, who's going to tell us. She's a wonderful astrologer and artist and a dear friend, and she's going to come in and talk about what this full moon in Cancer meant to us over the last weekend. Gosh, it was gorgeous. Was it gorgeous where you were? I couldn't believe it. But we're talking about the impact of the full moon on us, but also I keep wanting to talk about the frequencies out there in the universe and how, you know, we've heard this, that if somebody a couple of hundred years ago could see you right now, they would see you as shimmering, as radiating a higher frequency, and they'd probably say, wow, you must be an alien because you've got a much more luminous light than we do. But that's because the frequencies have moved up in society, you know, bit by bit by bit, and we're becoming higher and higher frequency. And if you listen to people like Kalaman, C.J. Kalaman talking about the Mayan calendar, it's not moving up a little bit. It's spun about 20 times as fast over the last year, and gosh only knows what the next years are bringing. I know that the arch of the graphs has gone right up into a very steep, steep curve, which tells me that you and I have the ability. I can feel it anyway in my body-mind. If you ask yourself to feel those higher frequencies, you can feel them buzz your body. So let's talk to Deb O'Connor. I bet you that Seth is calling her right now and see what she has to say. I found that when the moon was full...
Hi.
Hi, honey. Hi. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. I've missed being talking to you, playing with all this.
Yeah. Well, we miss you as well, and it's just wonderful to hear from you. I was just telling everybody about the high-frequency energies that are available to us right now, and they're really amping up, but the full moon in Cancer really added something, didn't it?
Right. What did you think it added?
I found it was so... I found the energy more intense, and this is going to sound really hokey and cliched, but it felt very round to me. I felt
very round.
I could roll around in it, but it was so intense it wasn't just nighttime, you know?
Right. Did you feel that there was a quincunx from Venus, too, and the, the quincunx is an aspect... If you look at it on a chart, it's an orange line,
okay.
And it what it does is it makes us feel just a little bit uncomfortable with a particular. It's hard to integrate the two energies that are quincunxing each other. So it was the moon with its moony, emotional desire to just feel comfortable emotionally in family and home, but then Venus was in Aquarius, and she was just asking everybody to be, again, what Aquarius does, be in Venus is the female and the yin, and asking everyone to be sure they're authentic. And so you can feel why that would be a quincunx, because so often we, especially when the moon is full in Cancer, we try to make things okay in the family by nurturing people and caring for people. And sometimes we do it to the point where we just are resentful because we're just tired out. And sometimes we're tired of caring for and nurturing people who don't seem to respect what's happening and what's been given. So I felt like a lot of people responded back to me after I wrote the column about this and said that they really were at the point where they were just unwilling to sort of sacrifice their own identity to the service of the family in a way, you know. And I think, too, that Venus in Aquarius asks that we realize that if we can be more real in our family situation, we're actually being more healing for everybody, you know. So that we can mentor.
You mean catalytic for the people who are being more real, right? They can be catalyzing growth and change for their very family members?
Yeah, so that everybody can realize that if we're all just more honest about who we are and where we come from and accepting each other for our own Aquarian uniqueness, then it's actually going to wind up being a more loving, nurturing Cancer environment.
Hmm.
Because everybody's accepting everybody else. Doesn't that make sense?
Yes, it does, but you're saying that they're accepting people who might be stepping out of their normal role, right?
Yes, because we all need to step out of our normal role in a way, because for so many people, and this is one of the things that Cancer Moon points out, for so many people, the normal, nurturing role that we've been carrying on forever is something that we feel partially out of love and partially out of obligation. So this particular moon had a lot to say about helping us to look at where we're just feeling like we're obligated or we should be doing something, when if we could be more authentic, everybody would benefit, because then everybody could do that. And we would all see each other for more who we are than who we think we should be in the family situation.
That's really... So wait a sec. You're saying that in the... Venus, which is the Venus, is Venus talks about how we love in the home, isn't it? Doesn't it?
No. Well, that's what Cancer does. Venus just brings up the more. Venus always brings up the yin energy, just like the moon does. But they're the two female energies in the zodiac, but they're a little bit different from each other, because the moon is more about the nurturing mother energy, and Venus is more about the feminine itself. It doesn't have to be mothering. It doesn't, you know, it's the female energy, it's the woman. What does it mean to be woman? And I thought that was really interesting, too, because for so many of us, so many women take on the mother role, even when it's not necessarily appropriate.
Yeah, we just
the mother role would be the Cancer role.
Mm-hmm.
And the Venus role would be more like, what does it mean to be woman? Well, it means a lot of things, and sometimes it means that we don't have to nurture in the old-fashioned way. We don't have to be making stew for 500 people. Do you know what I mean?
Nurturing can be pushing people to come to their truth, right?
Exactly, but Venus said, nurture in a way that's real. In other words, sometimes the most real way to nurture is to give people some boundaries. That's what I mean. Instead of constantly giving and giving and giving and considering that to be nurturing, sometimes the most nurturing, loving, mothering thing you can do for somebody, everybody who's a mother knows this, right, is to say no, or to say stop, or to say, here's what I'm willing to do, and then I'd like you to feel comfortable doing the rest. Because I really respect the fact that you can finish this. Do you know how it is with teenagers where, if you try to help them too much, they think that you don't respect the fact that they can do it themselves? And then, you know, there was another thing. I wish I could capture all these things when they're coming into my head three at a time. But there's another thing about the female and the mother. They just aren't the same thing. And women are so often put in the role of being just the mother. It happens to a lot of women in marriages after a while.
I'm going to tell you something personal that I went through this weekend. I went to see a friend who is transiting.
Right.
And then I haven't talked to you about this, but anyway, then I wrote to an ex-lover and said, don't you think we should have tea because our friend is transiting and it has been 18 years. He's been mad at me for 18 years. But,
wow.
Deb, he died at that point.
He died?
He died. I didn't know that till the two mornings later. Sunday morning, I found out that he had died. I mean, he could have knocked me over with a feather. I'm still reeling. But all of it came through. Yeah, this is incredible.
Oh my God!
I know, but it was so incredibly. Even his wife wrote to me and said, "You must be connected because your email came in just at the time he died." You know.
Well, of course you are, and
you're talking about the role of women, and what a woman is. I'm going, why? That was perfect, was it not?
That was totally perfect. It was absolutely perfect, and you know what else was perfect about it? The other piece of this I just remembered is that, and this fits too, is that one of the things that happens with nurturing is that a lot of times we nurture or we provide nourishment of some kind. I'm just speaking in metaphors like always, because we're afraid of what we'll lose if we don't. And you basically stepped it up to and decided that you were going to not be afraid of losing anything.
Right.
By you were going to do this brave action, and that's kind of like the reverse of the other way it can go, where you know how sometimes in families we decide we need to nurture. If we stop nurturing, people won't love us anymore. That's the Venus in Aquarius quincunx. Venus is saying, wait a minute.
Something else here, like with my ex, it's possible that he got unhooked by that letter.
Exactly. And, you know, and Pluto was part of that moon. It was really part of that full moon. The full moon, the sun is actually what was, Pluto was opposing the full moon, and Pluto is the planet of death and rebirth and transformation, incredibly intense emotional transformation.
Yeah.
There you have it right there.
I just think that's really poignant.
So do I. Oh, I want to talk to you more about this after the show.
Yes, you betcha. But also, I think, I just wanted people to know that somehow in this multidimensionality of ours, we are having a huge impact, but I think there's a fear of that kind of power in there too, isn't there?
Absolutely. That's that Venus piece too. She says, empower yourself. Be who you are. That's what you did.
Yeah, so if somebody dies, it's almost a little paranoia. Now, I'm not paranoid, don't get me wrong. It's just, you go, you know, we don't know what impact we have and on what level and what dimension, do we?
No, but I think that we are working on, like you said, in many, it's like the energetic fingers are all over the place right now. And in my experience with this Cancer moon was a little bit different than yours. It was that, and you know, and again, for everybody who's listening, wherever this full moon settled into your chart has a lot to do with the kind of impact it's going to have for you. Your Cancer, let's see, your Cancer is probably in your ninth house, the house of understanding and journeys, because your Gemini is in the eighth house. So I'm just, But, you know, some of your Cancer might be in the 8th house, too. I can't remember, and I don't have your chart for me.
I have 3 planets in the 9th house in Cancer.
Right. So this happened, I'm pretty sure, in the 9th house for you. But this particular full moon for me was happening in the house of a different house. And
Which house?
The 5th house. Uh-huh. And it happened, which is playful, joyful, delightful, sense of wonder. And I also have planet Uranus in there all the time. It just lives there, which is always bringing things about unexpectedly. And so here's this Cancer moon, which is about home, not just family, but home. And I went to visit a really good friend just to play. That's the 5th house up in Port Townsend. And I wound up 3 days later renting a little cabin in the woods up there that is closer to what I've been looking for home in 3.5 years than anything I could have ever even imagined.
Oh, are you going to move up there?
So, yeah, I signed a lease today.
How exciting for everybody at home. That means you're going to be close to me.
I know. Don't think I didn't think about that. There are a lot of things you and I can talk about later, but the point for the listeners is that the moon in Cancer is about home and family, and the Venus quincunx is about the be real. And everybody on the planet, all my dearest friends, had told me all these different places they thought I should go, and I was reeling with all these potential places, and I tried them all out in my head and in my psyche, and I never thought about this place, though, about Port Townsend, until I got up there just to visit an old friend, and I fell in love immediately, and I felt at home immediately, and then this thing just fell into my lap where I've been pushing and trying and looking for 3.5 years,
wonderful.
So... But once
so
I got totally
the
real,
moon in your fifth house has made that difference.
It was, and it was the Uranus, which brings things about unexpectedly, and it gives you a new vision.
Yay.
So the moon lands on a planet that's going to bring you an unexpected new way of looking at something. But you have to do the Venus in Aquarius piece, which is just stay authentic. In other words, instead of me thinking about what everybody else had been telling me and suggesting for me, I had to go into my own, you see what I'm saying, and my own instincts and my own intuition and say, well, this does feel right to me, but it's probably going to sound weird to everybody else I know. And then Venus said, don't worry about whatever else everybody else you know thinks.
Mm-hmm. That
and that's part of this thing that happened on the weekend, and that's what you did when you made this contact with this guy. You stopped worrying about what anybody would think, how outrageous it might seem, and you did what felt right to you in the moment.
That's right.
As a woman.
Wow.
And then
I was,
it brought you... Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Then it brought you more into the community of... It brought you back into some sort of communal family feeling with a man that you'd been family with for a long time. And then the last thing I want to say about that piece is that when the moon is in Cancer, it also helps us to feel sort of an emotional resonance with all beings and feel a part of a family of everythingness, too. You extrapolate out from your own feeling of family and sort of want to nourish all the world and hope that everyone has some sense of home and, you know, heart resonance somehow.
Well, I love that. And so tell everybody how to get hold of you, and I'm delighted you'll be in the Northwest, Miss Deb.
I know, close. You can get a hold of me by emailing me at Deb, short for Deborah, at... Deb at lovedogdesign.com. LoveDogDesign.com. Thank you so much.
And your wonderful newsletter, can people get that on your website?
Yeah, which is www.lovedogdesign.com.
Wonderful. And it really is very poetic and metaphorical and practical.
Practical. <Yep. laughs> Thank you.
Well, these things need to be practical. We need to know how to use them, don't we?
No, we do. I do write them practically so that people can see what all this mumbo-jumbo astrobabble means.
Thank you so much,
Deb. How do we apply
Deb,
all this?
We'll talk later.
Yes.
Much love.
Okay, much love. Good night.
Good night. So that was pretty interesting to me. I mean, what happened to you with the full moon and the... Venus and Aquarius, and of course I'm talking about these incredible downloads of frequencies that are going on through the universe, and talking a lot about how your subconscious drive a lot of your behavior and your activity. And if you want to manifest, I believe this, that our potential for manifestation for, like Deb did, tuning into what's really the best for you, great opportunities coming up. Some of that's been happening for me and certainly for Bob, my partner. We've been having tremendous opportunities all at the same time as I am anyway, having big losses. I want to talk about my loss. Part of me doesn't want to be so private. However, here I am being private, so on global radio. Is that connection, that being held away from that connection for 18 years and never being able to heal it, I feel now it's healing really fast. And I feel like back to what's in the subconscious and karma and those entrails of experiences that keep us jerking on a string, like, it keeps you going back into the same patterns and so on. I feel like what's happening for me lately are these extreme examples of how this stuff is playing out in a very dramatic way. But then there's a neutralization of what's maybe been towing me around for a long time, and the other person as well. Are you experiencing anything like that? So call in and tell me what's up with you. Are you looking for work? Are you looking for homes? Are you finding any other relationship to home and family, and how you're trying to change that? What's going on with you? How many of you feel that you're really in touch with a lot of like high frequency energies moving through? What do you feel about 2012? Do you feel like we're going to have greater employment? When I look out at that kind of thing, and Mitt Romney is going to be the head of the Republican Party. I'm not even quite sure what that means. Do you trust that this is an election year? Do you think that financially things are getting better for you? So call in. I really want you to call in and talk about your life. A couple of weeks ago, I did the whole show with that one caller, which is happening right now unless you call in. And one of you wrote to me and said, I just didn't know what kind of questions to ask you. I'm saying ask about anything, and you don't even have to ask. You can tell us what's going on. And I'm reading a wonderful book. Jackie was talking about being back into the Seth material, and so were two other people. And I have never read the Seth books, mostly because I didn't like the picture of Jane Roberts on the front. Okay, so that sounds trite, but that was the truth for me. So I went into a secondhand bookstore to get the books, and the only one I could get was this one called Adventures in Consciousness by Jane Roberts. And you know what? It is crackerjack. I'm finding, you know how we've been talking about parallel realities with Josephine Sellers from England, who was on my Paradigm Shifters a couple of weeks ago, and Jackie talking about parallel realities, and I've been doing some really interesting experiments about going out of the body and into another reality based on some kind of pressure in my body, wherever there's a pressure, go into that in a meditation and go out into another reality that goes around it. That's a thumbnail way of expressing something. It's probably a lot more confusing than that. But in any case, or a lot more complicated than that. In this Jane Roberts book, there is a whole lot about that. Synchronistically speaking, she's talking about experiments that they're all doing and talking about how the time-space relationship is very, very different. Like, who have you had karma with? And if they come through, if you've been, like Josephine Sellers, being English, was able to go into past lives and then go out there and get the records of those lives 400, 500 years earlier, even as early as, I think, more than 1,000 years she went. We can't do that in these newer countries or these countries where the written records are a lot shorter than they are in England. But anyway, so reading this book, I'm absolutely fascinated how Jane Roberts and a little group of her students worked on, they brought in different realities, they brought in different lifetimes, channeled aspects of their own soul history, and had dramatic interactions right there in 3D, right there in the classes. They would have these tremendous interactions with somebody who had abused someone else, and they would hash it out in class. And she was talking a lot about how faces changed, vibrations changed, and they were very alert to who was being what at any given time. I think that's really fascinating. So what are you learning about parallel realities? So I'd like you to call in. We have like 5 minutes for callers, and then we're done for now. My next paradigm shifter, I'm not really sure who it's going to be. I haven't had any feedback on Lionel Fifield, who is from Australia, and I ran him this last Tuesday. But the one that's coming up, I'm trying to get one of the Oneness Blessings people, and I'm tracking down several of them, and they're really on the road a lot, and it's been hard to nail down a time, even though they're in agreement. Another one is a woman who's doing elixirs and flower essences. She grows flowers and plants and keeps track of fairies and elves and all kinds of sprites, hidden little characters in all of her vegetation and so on. And she makes these flower essences. But her latest one, she uses crystals and flowers and plants and so on to make these. And her latest ones, she said, are amazing for multidimensional activity. And I really want her to be coming on, Diana Pepper. We had her once before a few years ago, and some of you absolutely loved her. So for those of you who aren't used to paradigm shifters, tune in at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night so you can also go through the archives. We've talked to a huge, broad section of people. I noticed also that David Icke, who's very famous for bringing the lizard reality into our reality, he was a reporter in England, and he's gone around showing how we have all of these different species that are actually presented, and that the Queen Elizabeth and several other people are reptilians, not several, many, many other people. And we all went, oh, no, not reptilians, oh, no. But the reality of it all is that there are just streams of life throughout the universe, and some of them are here, and they're in, I don't know if Queen Elizabeth is a reptilian, frankly, but I do know we have a reptilian part of our brain, which is known as the more primitive part of our brain. But I gather that reptilians themselves as a species from way out there in different galactic centers are just like us. They have refinement, and they have the thuggish nature, and you know what I mean? They have many, many levels of being. And now I notice that David Icke, along with pretty much whether you're reading the Vedas, Vedanta, whether you're reading the ancient Hindu scriptures, whether you're reading the latest New Age stuff, whether you're doing the Diksha, the Oneness Blessing Movement, whether you're doing David Icke and all his reptilian doodah, everybody's talking about oneness. We are all one. And what does that mean to you? So I really want to bring one of the oneness people onto the show. Or it'll be Diana Pepper, but it'll be one or the other on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock listening to Paradigm Shifters. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, aren't you going to call in at least one of you? Come on. And as we deal with 2012, and we know that there's an awakening going on, it's moving like fields through the collective all around our planet, it's very exciting. And what does that mean, an awakening? Well, to me, it means that we're awakening to being a multidimensional. Thank you, Diana Pepper. We can hardly wait to try your elixirs and so on. But we're awakening to being a much vaster possibility. We're awakening to the fact that we exist in more than one lifetime at a time, that we exist. And I knew this when I was little, but I did not have the intelligence or the experience to put it together. But that we exist in other galactic centers, that we have a lineage that is way beyond anything that we've been taught, and that our cells, our DNA can be changed, and our cells can be influenced, and we can do... I like this whole image that in some planetary systems, beings live for, like, for example, 5,000 years. But here, we broke them up into chapters. So your soul's journey is maybe not a stream. It's more like, to me, we put a whole bunch of different things together, multifaceted. Like the Education of Oversoul 7, we have all of these different reflections. Maybe that's a good way to describe oneness. We have all these different shining reflections of what source energy is through us. Oh, goody, one caller before we're done. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Emily.
Hi, Emily, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you? I've been listening to the show tonight and loved the woman earlier and really related to just what she was talking about with just taking control and the idea of the motherly figure and all of that.
And being in truth with yourself?
Yeah. I really related to that and just especially in a relationship and I know you were able to relate and she, you know, it was different to everyone on a certain level, but just that idea of really remaining true to yourself and being able to trust that to relate to everyone around you. So
did you have that experience in the full moon, Emily?
You know, I did. It happened in, you know, in a few different ways, but it was definitely an energetic day for me. So.
Well, Emily, I think on the full moon, you were really doing your thing, weren't you?
Yes.
That was the night. Can I tell people? I know Emily, and I'm really proud of her because on the night of the full moon, she did a solo performance of four songs she had written, sung, and produced, right?
Yes, getting my creativity out there, which is what I've been trying to do for a long time. So,
but you know what I found is that your songs were really good, and I watched you and went, wow, not only is she beautiful and smart, but she's up there doing something that maybe you and I would wish that we had done, and in a way, that it was just so amazing for the full moon, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You didn't think of it that way, did you?
Yeah. No.
So now you're on global radio.
I know.
Do you have a question at all?
You know, I didn't have a question for you.
That's okay. There's another caller. Maybe I'll take that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, honey. Good evening. You're on the air. You have a minute.
Oh, hi, Veronica. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I had such a emotional Cancer moon. I am a Cancer rising.
Uh-huh.
And my husband died 2 years ago tomorrow. And he was a Cancer sun sign, and now his mom just died on Saturday in Cancer.
Wow.
It's been, like, so synchronistically, just an odd, a very emotional moon. And I anticipated it coming up because his death anniversary being during this moon.
Wow.
And then his mom died, and I'm just, it's very... I don't know what to say about it, but you were asking people to call in, so I thought I would call in.
I really appreciate your call, and I just want to say it's interesting that the Venus that you was talking about in Aquarius, then you're rearranging a lot of your feminine power, aren't you?
Oh, yes. I feel very alone doing it, but yeah.
Well, I bless you, and thank you so much for your call. Unfortunately, we're at the end, but thanks for calling.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. Bye.
All right, honey. Good night. And I think we have one more caller, which we can take for just a half a minute. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hello. Is this Veronica?
Yes, it is.
Okay, yes, you're short on time there, I see. Anyway, this is Tommy in Tennessee. How are you doing this evening?
Good, thanks. Have you got a question, Tommy? Thanks for calling.
Oh, just a statement, just in collaboration with what you were saying earlier about David Icke and a few of those things. I don't know how much time you have, a minute or two or what?
Yeah, half a minute. Well, they're going to hook us off stage any second.
Okay, well, I guess I could call. No sense
please
getting
do.
Into stuff.
Please call next week, okay?
All righty. Very good. Well, you have a good evening, and thanks for your show there.
All right. Thank you for calling, Tommy. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, stay tuned at the top of the hour for Jackie Salvitti, ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. She's talking about dynamic changes and sudden changes. And if you'd like to email me, it's veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Tell me about the guests that you prefer or like, any feedback on this show, or just to have a session with me. I'd love to hear from you, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Please stay tuned if you can for the top of the hour. And thanks for that wonderful flurry of calls at the very end of this show. Good night, everybody, and much love.